A reading from the Holy Gospel of Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed them and pressed upon Jesus. While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, Jesus caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed Jesus. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. And at that, they were utterly astonished. Jesus gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The story of Jairus, his wife, and his little daughter sends chills up and down our spines, because no parent wants to face a situation like this, the imminent death of a child. It's not hard to imagine the grief and intensity of the scene. A desperate, well-dressed, educated man, and probably a rather sophisticated one, a synagogue official, breaks his way through the crowd to get to Jesus, who's standing by the seashore. If the circumstances had not been so dire, it might have taken Jairus much more courage. But not on this day, not when there was so much at stake. His little girl was too ill, and he had to act quickly. Nothing could hold him back. Not the open criticism of his religious colleagues when they heard what he had done. Not the snide remarks of the skeptics in the crowd. And not even the humiliating act of kneeling on the wet sand before an itinerant peasant preacher. Even though Jairus lived in a world that had grown callous and used to suffering, a world void of pity and lacking in hope, even though he lived in a society where sons were more valued than daughters, this was his little girl, his daughter, the one he loved. We can imagine his feelings, but he's still an extraordinary man, because nothing stops him. Not even those dreaded words that no one wants to hear about a loved one, and especially a child. "Your daughter has died." Those words are so final that it feels like they should be the last sentence in the last chapter of a book. And for many people, it would have been the end of the story. The shock, confusion, anger would have cut through their hearts like a two-edged sword of sorrow and blame. A lot of if-onlys must have run through Jairus' mind that day. If only he had run faster or made up his mind sooner. If only Jesus had arrived at the seashore earlier that day. If only things were different. And we know those feelings too, those words, "if only." If only comes to our minds all too quickly sometimes when we feel like life has treated us unfairly or when we feel disappointed, disillusioned. Over the years, we too have heard ourselves say, if only. If only we had seen the economic crisis coming, we would have cut back on our spending. If only we had more affirming parents, we could have been more successful. If only our spouses had died not so young, we wouldn't be as lonely now. Or as a young boy in the neighborhood said to me a couple of months ago, if only I'd chosen different friends, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in now. We all have our own set of if-onlys, but to use a modern expression, Jairus doesn't go there. Instead, he turns to Jesus, and Jesus preaches probably the shortest sermon in the gospel. Don't be afraid, he says, only have faith. And those words were enough for Jairus to put one foot in front of the other and lead Jesus to his home. It's a small group that gathers with Jesus in the little girl's room. Only the three disciples, Jairus and his wife, and a few other people were invited, all novices at practicing this new faith, and like us, not really understanding what faith is, how we get it, what strengthens it. Because faith isn't a commodity, something that we can hand on or hoard. Faith is a relationship with someone we love and trust, a relationship that Jairus and we have said yes to. Faith begins small and becomes stronger slowly over years of experience. And it sneaks into our lives, sometimes without us even realizing it, until something big happens, as it did with Jairus. And then we too turn, as Jairus did, to the only one who can help. Faith isn't even about miracles. It's about trusting God, a God who hears our cries for help and feels our pain, a God who, like the little girl's mother, keeps vigil with us through the long nights of life-threatening experiences and circumstances that tempt us to give up hope and faith. It was a small group, a small community that day that gathered with Jesus in the little girl's room, unlike many of the communities of believers that we gather with to pray each week or perhaps each day. But we have a lot in common with those people there and who gathered in Jairus' home, because we are all novices at faith. No matter how long we have believed, we too need to be enlightened as Jairus was. In fact, Jairus' name means the enlightened one.